Hazur says that some time has passed that I spoke with reference to the Muslims nowadays, whose attention normally is not towards righteousness or piety, or towards establishing a relationship with Almighty Allah and increasing that relationship. Rather, instead they follow their peers and the saints, and they ask from them. Or with regard to the old saints and holy people, they go to their shrines and they go to their graves, and they go there and they ask from them in a manner one would normally ask from Allah. A large number of people in Pakistan, India and other places, due to a lack of education, and because from generation down to generation, this concept of worshipping or following these peers and saints in this manner has existed. They believe that this peer or this holy people or this saintly person, he will fulfill our needs, or he will provide us with redemption. And this is why they ask prayers from them. Some people have exceeded or reached the level of shirk of associating partners with Allah that they even prostrate before such graves. There are such accounts and incidents where a woman has said that this son that I have been granted has not been granted by Allah. In fact, this son was granted by Datta Sahib. So this is the extent to which this shirk, this associating partners with Allah, has reached. So in such circumstances, when a Muslim who should be the biggest muwahid, the one who upholds the oneness of Allah, because this was their teaching, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would emphasize this most of all. And this is the teaching provided to us by the Holy Quran. But most unfortunately, this muwahid has now become engulfed in shirk, in associating partners with Allah. And there are such things being said that relate to shirk, that at times, rather than draw them towards Islam, is bringing them closer to the mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah. So in this era, Allah the Almighty, bestowing His favor upon us, He sent the great lover of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And He sent him so that in this time and in this era, so regarding this distorted and this erroneous teaching that has been brought about by these peers and these saintly people, so He was sent so that He could correctly guide people. So this chosen one of Allah, the arbiter and just of the time, the Messiah and the Mahdi, who was the great lover of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in order to remove us from the filth of this shirk, associating partners with Allah, has guided us. And that guidance is in exact accordance with that teaching, which is the teaching of the Holy Quran. Through which the oneness of Allah becomes established. And it is through this that the true teachings of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, can be recognized, and through which his greatness and superiority can also become manifest. It is through this that the superiority of Islam over all other religions becomes apparent. The followers of other religions, however much they want to, they can go on saying this, that salvation can only be attained through our religion. In particular, it is the claim of Christianity that the Messiah, Jesus, peace be upon him, through his crucifixion, has provided us with the atonement. So therefore, this Messiah is the only means of our salvation now. And then they also say that he was the Son of God, and that his followers become free from every kind of sin as a result of this. In fact, those who are called saints within Christianity, they also become a means, according to them, of intercession. Recently, the previous Pope, John Paul II, it was said in the Christian world regarding him that due to certain miracles shown by him, it has become established that he has also attained the rank of intercession. He has now attained a special status. he has reached such a level where he can become an intercessor. He can sit in heaven and carry out this work of intercession, is what they say. Anyhow, this is their opinion according to their teaching, which is wrong. They act according to that teaching, and this is what they believe, and they can keep on believing that. In reality, their teaching is actually in complete contradiction to the teaching of Hazrat Jesus, peace be upon him, and its foundation now rests on shirk, associating partners with Allah. With regard to this teaching, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is the person who explained to us what this incorrect view of Christianity was. At this time, I will present a reference of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that, remember, it is entirely calamitous to ascribe divinity to Jesus, peace be upon him. He certainly did not make any such claim. Whatever he said with regards to himself did not go beyond intercession. As such, who can deny the intercession of prophets? From the intercession of Moses, peace be upon him, on many occasions, the people of Israel, or the Israelites, were saved from raging torment. And I myself have experience of this. And he says that many esteemed people of my community know very well that due to my intercession, some people embroiled in problems and illnesses were relieved of their grief, and they were informed about this beforehand. For Jesus, peace be upon him, to be crucified for his followers, and for the sins of his followers to be transferred to him, is a meaningless creed that is far removed from reason. It is beyond the divine attributes of fairness and justice that the punishment of the sin of someone should be given to another. In short, this creed is a collection of errors. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says in one place that the true and honest thing is that, firstly, it is essential that an intercessor has a perfect connection with God, so that he can attain beneficence from God, and that he also has an intense connection with mankind. This is so that he can convey to mankind that beneficence and good he has attained from Almighty Allah. Unless both these connections are not intense, one cannot be an intercessor. Then, the third discussion that is worthy of being mentioned is that until these two models are not seen, there can be no beneficial outcome, and all other issues are futile. Hazur says, that is, relationship with Almighty Allah and relationship with the mankind, and to convey the beneficence from God to mankind, these should result in an outcome. If this does not exist, then the discussion is futile. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, look at the example of Jesus, peace be upon him. He could not even reform a few disciples. He always called them slack in belief. In fact, he even deemed some of them satanic. And according to the New Testament, there is no perfect example mentioned. This is what the New Testament says. That is, whatever the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has said, he said that this is what the New Testament states, that Jesus, peace be upon him, could not reform his disciples, and he said that they were bad in this and this way. He says, in comparison, our great prophet, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the perfect model. And how spiritually and physically he saved his followers from the punishment of God and took them out of a life of sin in a way that transformed the world. Similarly, the intercession of Moses, peace be upon him, also had a beneficial outcome. Jesus, peace be upon him, who they say is similar to Moses, alayhi salam, they cannot prove that Jesus, peace be upon him, removed his followers from a life of sin. In the Bible, the Old Testament, we find examples of Moses, peace be upon him, but not with regard to Jesus, peace be upon him. Whatever has been said by Paul, or other people whose names are not mentioned or introduced. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that we see that after Jesus, peace be upon him, the state of the nation deformed and mutated completely. If anybody has any doubt, they should go to Europe or London or any other city. That has he come and removed them from sin, or has he engulfed them in sin? Now, the definition of sin, the definition of badness, if you change the meaning of what bad is or what sin is, if vices are considered as virtues, then their teaching and practice is correct. However, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that true immoralities, those things which are bereft of humanity, for humans to do things which are completely out of the fold of what good morals are, those kind of bad acts are found excessively in Europe. So this is why this is not delivering them from sin. In fact, this is drowning them in further sin. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says these are just claims which have no proof to back them up. So for Christians to say the Messiah, Jesus, peace be upon him, came to deliver them from sins is incorrect, because we see that after him, the state of the people completely became corrupt, and they became bereft of spirituality. In fact, the church says itself that we are becoming more and more removed from spirituality. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that the true and perfect intercessor is the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who removed the people from worshipping idols, from every kind of impiety, sinfulness, and filth, and made them into the most excellent and brilliant people. The proof of this is that in every area, in order to testify his purity and excellence, Allah the Almighty sends an example. Hazrat says that this is the excellent snapshot that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has taken of Christianity. And this is taken from the Bible itself. Jesus, peace be upon him, was not able to reform his disciples within his own life. Then to be crucified, which according to them is an accursed death. This as well, according to the Jews, was something terrible. Whatever interpretations may be provided, and although we, Ahmadi Muslims, do not accept this, in fact, Allah the Almighty saved this Prophet as well from all the allegations that the Jews wanted to place upon him. And Jesus, peace be upon him, lived to a long life, and he was successful in his mission. He was successful in that mission which Allah the Almighty had sent him for. The reason why I have given reference to the Pope is that youngsters and children in the schools as well, nowadays, there are a lot of discussions taking place with regard to miracles. And these children, they hear things, they listen to things, and they become influenced by it. So they should be aware what the reality is. You should always remember that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his status, his rank is the real status of intercession. It is the highest possible level. And from the life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, until today, that is, even after he has passed away, these miracles continue to occur. Examples continue to be formed. Amongst his followers, such people are being born who display miracles. We Ahmadis, firmly believe that Allah the Almighty displays the manifestation of his powers even today as a result of following the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And it is also our firm belief, it is also our faith, that there is no need for any saint or any other intercessor. Following the teachings of the Holy Quran and implementing the commandments of the Holy Prophet ﷺ results in finding God. this special status, Christians after somebody or the other passes away, they actually provide the status to such and such person, and that status is not given by God. In fact, that status is granted by people. We do not know the reality, whether those miracles were actually miracles or not. In fact, a newspaper in Poland has written, and it has actually objected, that it is possible that there is a team of doctors who decides upon these miracles, whether that has been diagnosed properly or not, about that lady who has Parkinson's. It is possible she perhaps had a similar disease of another kind, which after a certain length of time actually heals or cures by itself. But anyhow, at this time, what I would like to say is this, that what is the true concept of intercession according to Islam? What is intercession according to a Muslim? What should a Muslim deem intercession to be? The Holy Quran has many verses which explain this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in many different places, with reference to various verses of the Holy Quran, has very clearly and elucidly explained this, that what the reality of intercession is. Jesus, peace be upon him, or the Christianity, the view of it, I have given two examples of this already. The verse that I recited earlier is called Ayatul Kursi. The translation of this verse is, and we often recite this and many people will know the translation, but anyhow, listen to the translation. Allah the Almighty says, Allah, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting, and all-sustaining. Slumber seizes Him not, nor sleep. To Him belongs whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth. Who is He that will intercede with Him except by His permission? He knows what is before them and what is behind them, and they encompass nothing of His knowledge except what He pleases. His knowledge extends over the heavens and the earth, and the care of them burdens Him not. And He is the High, the Great. Regarding this verse, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that this verse is the chief of all verses and a beautiful snapshot of the attributes of Allah has been taken in this verse. In fact, there is a narration that the first four verses of Surah Al-Baqarah and this Ayatul Kursi, then the two verses that are beside it, and then the final three verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. If one reads all of this, Satan runs from the home of such a person. That is, if a person reads all of this, and he ponders it, he understands it, and he strives to implement it, then naturally, Satan will run away from such a person. Therefore, in these verses, Allah the Almighty has placed a blessing, that if you implement the teachings of Islam, if you attain knowledge of the attributes of Allah, and if you always strive to purify your hearts, these are the actions through which Allah the Almighty bestows grace upon you. And regarding such people, it is proved from the Ahadith that the Holy Prophet ﷺ intercedes for such people. With regard to human weaknesses and frailties, Allah the Almighty overlooks them. However, if you do not have actions to back up, if you do not have belief in Almighty Allah, if your attention is not towards performing prayers, if you have no inclination towards fulfilling the commands of Allah, then just going to the graves and shrines of peers and saintly people, this will not provide the means of intercession for what you ask. This is actually a type of shirk, associating partners with Allah, that is, relying entirely only on these peers and saints. The Christians display an apparent shirk. Here in the Muslims, we see an apparent and a hidden shirk. Both these types are visible. But anyhow, the message entailed of this verse, I will explain it in light of the commentary of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that Allah the Almighty says that Allahu la ilaha illahu huwal hayyul qayyum. That Allah is such a being who combines all perfect attributes and is free from every kind of defects. He is truly worthy of worship. He alone is living, self-subsisting, and all-sustaining. He is all-subsisting, He is for all time, and He is for eternity. And all else is given life and ultimately dies. Then he explained that all other creation, whatever we see in the entire world, there is no such thing that exists by itself and then remains living and subsisting. It is only Allah alone who is for all times, who has no beginning and no end, and will remain for all times. All other creation, they are given life at a certain time. They come into existence and then they finish off ultimately. They cannot remain. They cannot remain forever. And whatever's existence is only for temporary. What kind of prayers can they accept? How can such a being accept prayers that is only here for a temporary life? How can it give progeny? So therefore, it is Allah alone that is the possessor of all powers. He existed since the beginning, and He will always remain in existence. At the beginning of this verse itself, this is what has been explained. That Allah, there is no God but He. So therefore, save yourself from both hidden and apparent shirk, that is, associating partners with God. This is if you want to seek beneficence from His attributes. Then it says that it is Allah's attributes alone that sleep overcomes Him not, nor does slumber. He is always watching over His creation. And He is controlling the entire system, and He does not exhaust from controlling this entire system. The peer and the saints, etc., they tire. In fact, nowadays, not even nowadays, the Gadi Nashin peers, that is the keepers of these tombs and saints, they have no inclination towards prayers and worship. All they do is eat and drink and have luxuries and entertain themselves, and then they fall asleep. Then the aspect of intercession has also been explained in this verse. Yes, the concept of intercession is correct. It does occur. The previous sermon which I referred to, after it somebody asked me that you have explained it in a way as if intercession cannot occur in any way whatsoever. So intercession does occur. But these peers and these saints do not have the right to intercede. Allah the Almighty said that nobody can intercede except with His permission. Who can claim today from amongst the Muslims, even though today Islam is the final and complete religion of Almighty Allah, but no Muslim can say that there are people who are implementing everything and who have the right of intercede. Whoever has not accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salam, they are already out of the fold of following the commandments of Allah. They who are Ahmadis, however much senior or holy they may become, however much close relationship with Allah they may have, they cannot claim to have the power of intercession. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, there is an account of his own state on one occasion that Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib, once his son became extremely ill, so they asked the promised Messiah alayhi salam for prayers. The promised Messiah alayhi salam kept the sacrifices of Nawab Ali Khan Sahib in view, and he prayed from his heart. And when he prayed for his returning to good health, the reply he received was this, that he will not return to good health. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that if the prayer does not work, then he will try to intercede. Upon this, the Promised Messiah said, I received a reply from God, that who are you to intercede without permission? The Promised Messiah was trembling after this. And after a while, Allah the Almighty, when he saw the state of the Promised Messiah, he said, that إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْمَجَازِ, that you are given permission to intercede. So then he prayed, and with the grace of Almighty Allah, the son of Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib went on to live to a very old age. It is mentioned in a hadith that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can only intercede when he is given permission. This is a long hadith, and this is a part of that hadith. Then it is mentioned in another narration that he said that Ziyad bin Abi Ziyad, who was a slave of Bani Maksum, he narrates from one of the servants of the Prophet Muhammad that he used to inquire from the servants that, do you have any needs? The narrator said that one day he said that, O Messenger of Allah, I have a desire. He said that, what is your desire? So the servant said that, my need is this, that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Day of Judgment should intercede for me. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, who drew your attention towards this? The servant said, my Lord did. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, why not? But you should help me with abundance of prostrations. This is a hadith of Musnad Ahmad bin Hanbal. So therefore, if you desire intercession, you also require to prostrate in a great abundance. Just to pray once or twice, to go and prostrate before the graves of the peers, this will not entail intercession. In fact, when you prostrate profusely, or by prostrating in great abundance, this is how intercession can occur. And those prostrations must be performed, which are purely for the sake of Almighty Allah alone. And those prostrations must be performed considering Allah to be the possessor of all powers. And when you understand that Allah is He who can fulfill every single need. It is mentioned in another hadith, Hadith Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates. He said that it was asked to the Holy Prophet ﷺ that, O Messenger of Allah, on the Day of Resurrection amongst the people, who are those fortunate ones that you will intercede for? The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Huraira, I thought that before you, nobody would ask me, because I have seen that the memory you have for memorizing hadith on the Day of Resurrection, through my intercession, the fortunate people will be those. He says that from the sincerity of his self, says that apart from Allah, there is no God. So therefore, Allahu la ilaha illallahu, who says it with his heart, who says it sincerely, who says it without any corruption of the heart, that is the reality, that is the actuality, and this is the essence which provides a person the right of intercession. And the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that he would intercede for such people. In one place of the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty announces from him that, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That say, if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you, and then will He forgive you your faults. And Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. This verse, where it is a clear announcement to Jews and Christians that these claims of yours, that you are the beloved of God and you are the sons of God, in particular the Christians, they claim that we are those who believe in the Son of God, and this is why we are the beloved of God, and that this becomes the means of salvation. Allah the Almighty says about this that your claims have no significance whatsoever. Now, complete obedience and following of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can only make you the beloved of Allah. This is a challenge to the followers of all religions. This also entails an instruction for us that Islam is not just in this name. In fact, what is also required is following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is that personage who most of all understood the attributes of Almighty Allah, and he most of all inculcated that within his life. So therefore, if you want to partake of his intercession, then according to his sunnah, you must follow that, you must look at your actions. You must adopt the commandments of the Holy Quran into your lives, because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regard to him, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said this exactly, that kana khulukuhul Quran. This was his distinction and his splendor, that his every act, his every word, his every deed was according to the Holy Quran. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, that is, with regard to this verse, that in the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regard to his intercession, it has been mentioned in different aspects, as I said in one place. In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. That say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will then love you and forgive your faults. Now look, how clearly does this verse explain that following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the prerequisite, that love, obedience and complete submission of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prerequisite, and the essential outcome of that, that a person becomes the beloved of God and his sins are forgiven. That is, if he has consumed the toxin of sin, then the antidote of love and obedience and adherence removes the effects of this toxin. And just as through medicine, that just as through medicine, one can be free of disease, similarly, a person becomes free of sin. And just as light dispels darkness, an antidote removes the effect of toxin and fire burns, similarly, true obedience and love has its effect. Therefore, this true obedience and submission, which a Muslim strives to adopt with regard to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which he should strive to adopt, it is the outcome of this that a person fulfills the right of being a follower. It is a result of this that a Muslim, that is, a true Muslim, becomes a benefactor of the prayers the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed for his followers. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further elucidates this subject and says in one place that it should never be thought that intercession is of no significance. It is our belief that intercession is truth, and this is evidence that wasalli alayhim Inna salataka sakanullahum. This is the philosophy of intercession, that the passion of selfishness of sin is cooled off. The outcome of intercession tells that death descends on life of sin, and selfish impulses and desires cool off. This puts an end to sins, and in their place, virtues begin. Therefore, the issue of intercession has not rendered deeds useless. Rather, it inspires good works. In other words, this issue of intercession, it actually encourages further righteousness and pious deeds to be performed. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, said, by not understanding the philosophy of intercession, they have criticized out of ignorance. And intercession and atonement have been deemed the same thing, whereas they cannot be the same. The atonement does not require good deeds to be performed. That is, it is said that the following person has taken my sins, so therefore I do not need to perform any good deeds because he has borne all my sins. The Christians can do whatever they want. But Jesus, peace be upon him, has died in a cursed death for them, God forbid. So therefore the atonement has performed according to them. So this is why they no longer need to perform good deeds. That is, this concept of atonement leads to this. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues that intercession actually promotes and motivates one to perform good deeds. That thing which has no philosophy within it is void. It is our claim that Islamic doctrines and beliefs and every single one of its teachings contains a real philosophy with it. And there is also an intellectual aspect to every single one of its teachings which we do not find in other religious doctrines. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says further, how does intercession stimulate good works? Because this question does raise. So we find the answer to this question in the Holy Quran. It is proven that it does not have the connotation of atonement as the Christians believe, because that which produces indolence and idleness has not been relied on. Hazrat says, this concept of atonement, it actually leads to slackness if you rely on it. In fact, it is said, إِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my servants ask you about me, that where am I? Say, I am near. So the being who is near, he can do everything. He who is far, what can he do? If a fire is lit, the people who are far, by the time the news is relayed to them, they would have been burnt in the fire. This is why it is said that, say, I am near. So therefore, this verse tells us the secret of the acceptance of prayers. And that secret is that to inculcate perfect belief in the power of Allah the Exalted, and to always believe Him to be near, and to have faith that He accepts and listens to every prayer. The reason for some prayers being rejected is that the person supplicating is of weak faith. This is why it is necessary that you make the prayers worthy of being accepted, because if that prayer does not fulfill the conditions set by Allah, then even if all the prophets together pray, it will not be accepted, and there will be no beneficial outcome of it. That is, in order for prayers to be accepted, you have to fulfill the conditions set, and the conditions are those that fattabi'uni, that follow me. That is, follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and implement the teachings of the Holy Quran. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says that it should be pondered on that on the one hand it is said to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that salli alayhim inna salataka sakunullahum, that your prayer is indeed a source of tranquility for them, that through your prayer it provides tranquility to them, and the fire of passion is cooled off. And on the other hand, فَاسْتَجِيبُوا لِي has been commanded. If you combine both these verses and the person praying and the person requesting a prayer, their relationship, and then the outcome of that relationship between the person praying and requesting prayers, you also come to know of this. So Hazur says, there is the mutual prayer, that is, asking for prayer and praying. You come to know the relationship between these two people and also the outcome of this. A person should ask from Allah, should obey and submit completely, and should have perfect faith. And then, he becomes the benefactor of the prayers the Holy Prophet ﷺ performed for his ummah. And we see the outcome and those results become manifest. What has not been linked is that the prayers or the intercession of the Holy Prophet ﷺ are sufficient alone, and you should do nothing yourselves. And neither can the means of success be that the intercession of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and his prayers are not needed at all. So therefore, a person's own deeds and actions. And his submitting purely before Allah and worshipping Him. And asking for all needs from Him. These are the things which makes one fulfill the right of being the follower of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is another small reference of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He said, prayers can only benefit he who reforms himself and who establishes a true relationship with God. If a messenger intercedes for somebody and that person who he intercedes for does not reform himself and does not remove himself from a life of negligence, then that intercession cannot benefit him at all. It is mentioned in a hadith that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates. He said that for every prophet there is a special prayer that every prophet asks. And I so desire that this prayer of mine, this special prayer of mine, for the sake of the intercession of my people, I will save it until the day of resurrection. May Allah the Almighty enable us and our progeny until the day of judgment to be truly members of the followers of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that we can benefit from his intercession. Now, with reference to the intercession of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, I will present some of his prayers which are mentioned in Aina Kamalat Islam. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says,
Rabbij minna hazir rasoola hazir rasool al kareema khaira ma tuizu ahadun min al wara wa tawaffana fi zumratihi wa ashurna fi ummatihi wasqina min ainihi waj'alha lana suqya وَاجْعَلْهُ لَنَا شَفِيَ الْمُشَفَّعَ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْأُخْرَى رَبِّ فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا هَذَا الدُّعَاءَ وَعَاوَيْنَا فِي هَذَا الزَّرَاءَ.
The translation of this prayer is that grant this noble prophet from us the most excellent reward that can be given to anyone among creation. And let death overtake us while we are in his following. And raise us on the day of judgment while we are in his ummat, his people, and make us drink from his fountain, and make his fountain a source of satiation for us, and make him in this world and also in the hereafter an intercessor for us, whose intercession is accepted. O our Lord, accept this prayer of ours, and give us a place in this abode of refuge. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says,
Allahumma fa salli wa sallim ala zalika shafi'il mushafa'il.
That, O Allah, send grace and peace on this intercessor, whose intercession is accepted and who is the savior of mankind. And the savior of mankind now is only and only the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then the Promised Messiah Alaihi Wasallam says,
Rabbi Ya Rabbi Isma Du'ai Fi Qawmi Wa Tazarru'i Fi Ikhwati إني أتوسل إليك لنبيك خاتم النبيين وشفيهم ومشفعهم للمذنبين.
That, O my Lord, listen to my prayer for my nation and my supplication for my brothers. I seek from you through the agency of your Prophet, the Khatam al-Nabiyin, and successful intercessor of sinners. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Regarding the station of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, this is the final reference I will present. That now there is no book for the entire mankind but the Holy Quran. And now for all the progeny of Adam, there is no intercessor but Muhammad Mustafa, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So strive that you should attain true love of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And do not give superiority to anyone else, so that you can be saved in the heaven. And remember, salvation is not something that will manifest after death. In fact, true salvation is that which manifests in this world itself. Who is the one who is saved? It is he who believes that Allah is true and Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is a mediator and intercessor between God and all people, and there is no equal to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the entire world, and neither is there any equal book to the Holy Quran. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam desired not for anyone that he reminds forever, but this chosen Prophet will remain alive forever. And in order to for him to remain forever, Allah has laid this foundation, that his spiritual beneficence will remain until the end of time. Until the end, through his beneficence and spirituality, the Messiah and Mahdi was sent, whose coming was necessary to complete the structure of Islam, because it was necessary that the world would not end until for the Muhammad's dispensation a Messiah would not come, just as a Messiah was given for Moses' dispensation. This is what this verse indicates to, that اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْأَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Hazur says, therefore, the Prophet who will remain forever is the being of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then attaining beneficence from him, Allah the Almighty sent this Messiah and Mahdi. Attaching to him is necessary. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to strengthen this relationship further and further. May Allah the Almighty enable us to be those who attach to this Jamaat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and to strengthen this relationship. May we always be those who are in the Munim Alayh group, and may we always be those who benefit from the grace and blessings of Allah.